Welcome to another episode of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dillaman, lead pastor at ACAC. Well, today, unlike the previous few weeks, we have direct references to the Holy Spirit in our weekly readings. And that always makes my task in these recordings much, much easier. Today, we're going to look at three direct references to the Holy Spirit from the letter to the Hebrews. And before we do that, let me say something about context. The letter to the Hebrews has been the source of many unnecessary worries and fears and confusions and accusations ever since it was written. The reason being, we forget that it is the letter to the Hebrews. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't relevant for Gentiles, but what it does mean is that its message was targeted to Hebrew people. And if you've read this letter, you'll know that the writer is consistently appealing to his own people to remind them that all of the old covenant practices and feasts and offerings and symbols that they cherished were meant to point to Jesus. And now that Messiah Jesus has arrived, those things are no longer in play. As a result, for Jewish people to stay in the old covenant practices meant they literally had no basis of a saving relationship with God, because those things were foundational for the coming of Messiah. Now that Messiah has arrived, salvation is in Him and Him alone. So when you read this book and it says things like, once we've come to recognition, if we sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice for sin, that isn't God saying to Gentile believers in the 21st century, if you're saved, and then after you're saved, if you consciously sin, you can never be restored. Because if that's true, we're all lost. That was God saying to Jewish people, once you come to the knowledge of Jesus, if you reject Jesus and try to go back to the old covenant, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin there, because those old animal sacrifices are now defunct because Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice that they pointed to, the sacrifice of His own life. What the letter is saying is, if Jewish people learn of Jesus and say, no thanks, I'm going to stick with the old covenant, it's impossible for them to find the repentance that leads to eternal life, because the old covenant and the old sacrifices are no longer effective. They're no longer in play. So, I say that because our three references to the Holy Spirit are in a book that is trying to convince Jewish people the old is no longer functional. You've got to embrace the new, or you're going to miss God entirely. So, with that, let's look at the first reference, chapter 2. The writer says we have to pay closer attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift from it. And again, the verses prior to that are all about Jesus being God's final, definitive word. It's all about Jesus as the promised Messiah. And so, having made that point, the writer says, we got to pay close attention to this so we don't drift away from it. Because if the word spoken through angels was unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, he's talking about the old law and prophets, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was first spoken through the Lord, confirmed to us by those who heard it, God testifying with them, both by signs, wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So the direct reference is to the Holy Spirit giving testimony to the authenticity of Jesus as the way, the truth, the life, the fulfillment of prophecy, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And again, that reference is consistent with what Jesus himself said in the gospel recorded by John. He said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come, take my place. He won't talk about himself. He'll speak of me, and he will convince the world of me. So, the Holy Spirit's task, as we've said many times, is to be the public relations agent for the Messiah of the world, the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit's task is to draw men to Christ. Scripture says, no man comes unless the Spirit draws. And one of the ways he does that is through signs and wonders and miracles. We all get that. But also by gifts of the Holy Spirit. That means when you are moving in your spiritual gifts, whether it's hospitality or service or some of the other less spectacular gifts that don't involve wonders and healings and speaking in tongues and interpretations and so on, when you are moving in your spiritual gifts, though they may be quiet and behind the scenes, by doing that, you are part of the Holy Spirit convincing people that Jesus really is the one for whom their hearts hunger, that he is the Messiah, that he is the answer, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You say, well, I teach or I help in a children's Sunday school class, and we're not seeing signs and wonders and healings. So how is that helping those children believe in Jesus? By your very presence and loving concern for those children, you are fleshing out the heart of Jesus in their midst and helping them grasp the reality that the God of all creation cares about them as individuals, knows their name, prays for them, and cares about the things that touch their life and cares about their development. You are a tool of the Holy Spirit testifying to the reality of Jesus the Messiah. So whether you're ushering, serving in the nursery, directing cars in the parking lot, helping in youth ministries, children's ministries, singing in a choir, serving in the sound booth, whatever you're doing, if you're employing your spiritual gifts given to you by God's will, you're a part of God's testifying and the Holy Spirit's testifying to the identity and the authenticity of Messiah Jesus. That knowledge should lift even the most quote-unquote mundane task out of the mundane and into a place of great significance. The next reference is in chapter 3, where it talks about Jesus as our high priest. Again, Jewish references, Old Covenant references, saying all that was meant to point toward this. And in verse 7 we read, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation." Again, very Jewish reference, referring to those under Moses' leadership who, by their unbelief, refused to claim, refused to settle the land of promise, and spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, still fed and cared for by God, but missing God's blessed intent for their life. And why? Because they hardened their heart against God's voice. And in this reference, as the writer is saying, hey, Hebrew people, let's not do that again. Let's learn from that. Let's not repeat that now. He reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit's task to bring conviction and to make us aware that if we say no to a particular matter, we are treading on dangerous ground because we are hardening our hearts against God. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you that sense of urgency when God speaks to you about something you need to stop or something you need to embrace. It is the Holy Spirit who says, you need to treat this seriously. Because if you don't, there are going to be consequences. You're not going to fall out of the kingdom, but there are going to be consequences, and they aren't going to be pleasant because you're pitting yourself against God's will, against God's leading, and against God's intent. And when you go against the grain of the universe, you're always going to pick up some splinters, and they're going to hurt. So it's the Holy Spirit's task to breed within us that sense of urgency and to say, don't harden your heart. Don't keep saying no. Don't keep assuming you can fix this tomorrow. The third reference is in chapter 6, which talks about the peril of falling away. And again, it's not directed to New Covenant believers saying, hey, you can lose your salvation if you aren't careful. It's directed to Jewish people who are teetering on the fence. Do we do this new Jesus thing, or do we stay with what we know? Because if they decided to stay with what they knew, they were going to fall away from what God intended for them. And here is a terribly misinterpreted verse. Verse 4, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God, put him to open shame." Now, well-intended believers say, Hey, that has to be talking about somebody who is born again and then turns away from God. Because the born-again person has been enlightened. They have tasted the gift. They've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They've tasted the Word of God. They've tasted the powers of the age to come. But this isn't written to New Covenant believers. It's written to people who are contemplating the New Covenant, but aren't so sure, or are fairly sure they don't want it. Because these words also apply to Jewish people who had heard the witness of the gospel through the apostles and through the early church. Because when you hear the gospel, you have been enlightened. You have heard God's truth. When you hear the gospel, you've tasted the heavenly gift. You haven't made it your daily diet, but you have tasted it. You've sampled it. And people say, but how have you been made a partaker of the Holy Spirit? Anytime you hear the Word of God, which was inspired and authored by the Holy Spirit, and that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and is the Holy Spirit's chief means of communications, you've partaken of the Holy Spirit. You've tasted the Word of God. Again, you haven't made it your diet, but you've tasted it. And because God is in His Word, because His Word is alive and powerful, you have tasted the powers of the age to come. But if you fall away, if Jewish people hearing of Messiah Jesus through the empowered, inspired Word of God, if you say, it's not for me, it's impossible to renew you again to repentance. Why? Because you have rejected the only thing that leads to repentance and salvation. You can't find saving repentance in the old covenant because it's now defunct. You only find repentance in the new covenant. And the reference, because they again crucify themselves to the Son of God, is clearly a Jewish reference. Because it was the Jewish leadership that called for the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, we know it was everyone's sin that made his death necessary. So don't lay the crucifixion at the foot of the Jewish people only. We all made that crucifixion necessary. But it was the Jewish people who crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to the shame of the cross. Now, he defeated that shame and turned it into his glory, but it is a clearly Jewish reference. The continuation, the ground that drinks the rain that falls on it, brings forth vegetation, receives a blessing from God, but if it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless, close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Again, God spent centuries tilling the spiritual ground that was Israel, giving them the law, giving them the prophets, giving them the miracles, giving them the land, giving them the teaching, giving them protection. He rained upon them so that they could bring forth the crop of communicating His truth to the world. He blessed them. But as Jesus warned them, after all of that, if the vineyard doesn't produce any fruit, if all it produces is thorns and thistles, it's worthless. And it ends up being burned. That's not talking about a new covenant believer. Because the new covenant believer has embraced the Messiah. This is talking to Jewish people, the epistle to the Hebrews, saying you can't stay where you are and you can't go back. That option is no longer on the table. You have to find your life in Jesus. And again, who plays the critical role in bringing people to that belief and that conviction? The Holy Spirit. So the references in this distinctly Jewish book reaffirm what Jesus said in the Gospel according to John. The Holy Spirit has been sent to testify of me. When you move in your gifts, the Spirit is showing people Jesus. When you encourage people to respond and not harden their heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. When you feel an urgency in regard to something in your life, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And anytime lost men and women are encountered by the living, powerful Word of God, they are tasting the powers of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remind them they need to move in. Well, God bless you. You have a great week as you continue to follow the leading of the Spirit in your life.